Morning, birds. Get that big metal bird out of the way here. I want to talk to the birds. There you are. I hear you. Birds, your ornithological dreams have come true today. We're going to, not only are we continuing Bird Week, we're going to expand it into Bird Month. I know. And it's all because of you birds. We have bird experts. We have bird songs. We hear bird sounds. It's just unbelievable. So settle back and do your birdie thing. Like, for example, do you know what this is, birds? Listen closely. That's the bald eagle. Who knew? Yeah, on the money, right? I didn't even know that it chirped. I'm telling you, this is going to be a hell of a show. Steve Miller Band and Fly Like an Eagle on Bird Week Thursday here on Pandemic Pirate Radio. And hello, it's the 15th of October. I almost said November, not so fast. And welcome in. We're gonna do it today. Hey, you know, I hear other satellite entities, other radio stations. It's like an all cheese weekend, right? We're doing songs about cheese. So for us to do birds, I think that's defensible, and we're going to have not only fun, but we'll educate each other as we go through today. We're going to do all kinds of stuff here. In fact, all right, I won't play Disco Duck by Rick Dees. Well, maybe. So quick hit on the news today. Leading our news. I'll hit this in a minute. A big Trump scandal under the category of insider trading breaking this morning. I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, Europe reporting more new COVID-19 infections than at any other time during the pandemic. A curfew taking effect in Paris. The UK announcing local lockdown measures, and bars and restaurants face new restrictions in parts of Spain. Amy Coney Barrett, in her final day of questioning before the Senate Judiciary Committee, again avoided giving concrete answers about hot-button issues, including climate change. If you get anything out of these hearings, I haven't seen a minute, let me know. If they don't confirm her, let me know. President Trump and Joe Biden will appear in separate televised town halls tonight. The events come after a second debate was canceled because Trump wouldn't participate in a virtual format. And sports, college football is battling coronavirus outbreaks after a few weeks of play here. Alabama coach Nick Saban said that he tested positive. There's some other infected players on at least three other SEC teams. Barron Trump turns out, well, I made the mistake yesterday of tuning in the news. I saw Melania and this whole thing. Turns out Barron Trump was COVID positive when mom and dad were. The president's youngest son tested positive while his parents recovered from COVID-19 but never showed symptoms, said the first lady. He has now tested negative. Wow. And then Melania, and then the first lady, seemed to indicate in this soundbite that I saw that she took vitamins and ate better. That's almost a direct quote. Anyone? Did you see that? Yeah. Double the bam-bams. I don't know what she's talking about. I do not know. Anyway, that is apparently what's going on. They never let us know that. The Earth just saw the hottest September since records began, putting 2020 on track to tie with or break the milestone for the hottest year. It's the latest indication of rapid global warming. I have a list. We're going to get to this. I have a list of environmental stuff that we've been gathering, and we will make sure that we slip that into the bird talk since we're talking about natural habitats and life as opposed to other. It's 8 minutes after the hour. All right, here we go with the breaking Trump junk. We take you back to February 24th. This is the New York Times today. President Trump declared on Twitter, this is in February, that the coronavirus was very much under control in the United States. One of numerous rosy statements that he and his advisors made at the time. He even added an observation for investors, quote, stock market starting to look very good to me. Exclamation point. However, turns out hours earlier, senior members of the president's economic team, privately addressing board members of the conservative Hoover Institution, were not so confident. Tomas J. Philipson, who's a senior economic advisor to the president, told the group that he could not yet estimate the effects of the virus on the American economy. To some in the group, the implication was that an outbreak could prove worse than Mr. Philipson and other Trump administration advisors were saying in public. So the next day, again, we're back in February. The next day, board members, many of them Republican donors, got another taste of government uncertainty from Larry Kudlow. You've seen him? The director of the National Economic Council, hours after he had boasted on CNBC that the virus was contained in the United States and, quote, it's pretty close to airtight, Mr. Kudlow delivered a more ambiguous private message. He asserted that the virus was contained in the U.S., but, quote, now we just don't know. This, again, according to a document that the New York Times got and is breaking this morning. The document was written by a hedge fund consultant. I'm sorry. The people that are running the show. A hedge fund consultant who attended the three-day gathering of Hoover's board said, what struck me was that nearly every official he heard from raised the virus as a point of concern, totally unprovoked, quote, unquote. So, wink, wink. Did these people get into the insider trading thing and switch around their ownership? We can only hope to know more about that one. So that's making news. We'll get into it. And I didn't have time to read this. There's a thing, the Rudy Giuliani. What? Rudy Giuliani accidentally posted a video of himself being racist. I didn't have time for that. A bird song. El Condor Pasa from Simon and Garfunkel. As we, at least I, absorb all the, I don't know, the quiet, reflective energy of all these songs that have to do with birds. So, yeah. It's 14 after the hour. We're going to call up Tara. I've got to get her name right, please. Tara Beveroth in a few minutes. Tara's a bird watcher. And we're gonna find out what she does. And I gotta tell you, if you just stumbled upon the show, I just realized this, about 6 months into it, starting in April, I think it was on 4/20, for no apparent reason, we inaugurated the show. And you know, in that moment, the world was it was pretty quiet. We're up here, the building is under O'Hare, and the lack of air traffic, the silence truly was deafening. And I stuck the microphone out the window. This one here. You ready? Here. Here it is. Yeah. And the only sound that we heard was the birds. There they are. And my neighbors were locked down, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. I hear the air. Hear the air traffic there. Anyway. Anyway, you know, I realized that this show started with the birds. So that's kind of what we're doing here. Just looking here, we got a couple of seconds here. All right, here's some bird stuff. Ornithology is the scientific study of birds. That's right. That's a blue jay. Yeah, all right, that's a blue jay. Blue jays are supposed to be... okay. Blue jays, I think, are mean birds. I'm going to have to tear about that. A birder is a bird watcher. I've started to do that. Twitcher. How about this? A twitcher. Isn't that a new social medium? No. A twitcher is a bird watcher whose main aim is to collect sightings of rare birds. All right, that's the cackling of birds. I'm sorry, the cackling goose. Okay. We're going to talk about nocturnal birds, I understand. Those are the birds that are active during the night. I didn't really think about that. I mean, most of these birds that we have are diurnal birds. This is our morning calisthenic. Get up and say diurnal bird, along with the pine warbler here. Oh, boy. A bird nerd. Somebody with deep knowledge, understanding, and our love for birds. They nerd out on anything that has to do with birds. All right, I'm going to try to be a bird nerd. Is that going to work? Nah. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. This gives me an excuse to do all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm going to play one of the most obscure records you're going to hear on the show. This is a song written by Leonard Cohen, sung by Joe Cocker. And can I invite you to just listen to the lyrics here? Thank you. Joe Cocker from his very first album is called Bird on a Wire, written by Leonard Cohen, who was around as recently as 2016. Quite the songwriter. And again, the songs that have been inspired by birds, it's a long list. 21 after the hour, it's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright, and we'd now go live through the technology of the telephone down to Champaign, Illinois, and the University of Illinois area. And Tara Beveroth joins us. Tara, how'd I do on your name? Is it close at all?
You were spot on. Better than most.
Is that right? Well, I have an opportunity to screw it up before we're done talking today. Let's take it from the top here. You're connected with the University of Illinois down there, and you do something called population trend monitoring. I'm guessing that says what it means or means what it says, but tell me more about that.
So I've worked on many projects throughout my time at the survey, but one of the big parts of my job is working on monitoring how bird populations change through time. And so a couple of the programs I coordinate for the state are these monitoring programs that are actually volunteer-based. And so depending upon the time of year, we have volunteers that go out and survey for birds. And it gives us an idea of how the birds are doing, essentially, over time. So there are bird surveys in North America, for instance, like the Breeding Bird Survey, which started way back in 1966, and that was started by Chandler Robbins. And so that survey itself is a really neat survey to kind of reference in terms of bird surveys and studying trends over time, because we've learned so much from it, and that data is used regularly by so many people.
And how is that? Are people physically going out in the woods or out into the trees in the forest and looking to see how birds are doing, or how do you?
It depends on the survey.
Yeah.
it's very dependent on the survey. So we have a survey that is called the Spring Bird Count, and that happens every year on the Saturday between the 4th and 10th of May, and we have basically somebody in each county of the state that organizes volunteers in that county, and they go out and survey throughout the whole county. And basically during that day, and they can start as early as they want that day, they go out and count every bird they see or hear and record it.
Wow.
You know, record that bird. So, you know, that data set's been around since 1972, and it was started by Vern Kleen, who used to be the state ornithologist for Illinois. And so, you know, we have a lot of data, and we have a long-running species list for that.
And you say record. Do you take pictures or video or sounds?
Some people will take pictures while they're out. And if it's, you know, one of these birds that's a rare bird and something that you wouldn't normally expect to find, or, you know, something that's a vagrant that just comes in because, you know, it gets blown in or weather,
a vagrant bird.
Changes its pattern. Yeah. And so In the case like that, you know, we kind of ask for a little bit more documentation to make sure that it for sure is what the birder is saying it is. So
this is Tara Beveroth, who is a birder. Are you a twitcher?
I honestly, you know, I don't consider myself a total twitcher.
Yeah.
I am not one that will drive all the way across the state to see a rare species. It's got to be semi-close.
I just learned that.
I consider myself more of a researcher and someone that just really enjoys bird watching.
I just learned that word 5 minutes ago. To say to somebody,
I know a lot of them.
You're a total twitcher. So diurnal birds and nocturnal birds. In full disclosure, I have a bunch of birds here that surround the studio here, and I stick out the mic out the window. We get some of them, you know, in the morning and talk to them. And I think I know what they're saying to me now. But those are mostly, diurnal birds, right? Nocturnal birds. I guess, with the exception of an owl, I don't even know what those are. And that's part of what you specialize in, yes?
So, yeah, I actually coordinate another monitoring program. It's called the Moon Program, Monitoring of Owls in Nightjars in Illinois. And so we started that program back in 2008 primarily because, you know, there's a lot of bird surveys out there, but most of them primarily focus on daytime birds because that's when people are out. And so we wanted to kind of get an idea of what's going on with these nocturnal birds because they're not only cryptic, so they're not that noticeable, but they're pretty much primarily active at night or dawn and dusk, which you can call that crepuscular. There's another fun word for you.
Another what? What's the word?
Another fun word. It's crepuscular.
Crepuscular?
So those are birds that are pretty active at dawn and dusk. You know, they may be active at night as well, but...
What was you said these are cryptic birds. I know what cryptic means, but in terms of how did you mean that when you said these are cryptic birds?
So these are birds that blend in really well with their environment. They're not the showy birds. They're not birds that are going to be extremely colorful or have lots of color because they don't need to because they're not active at night.
Okay.
They don't need to necessarily show off their color to find a mate. They're birds that are more interested in blending in with their environment. Some of these birds, like in the case of nightjars, which are a really cool group of birds, some of them nest on the ground. And so they may need to blend in with leaves or leaf matter so that they don't get eaten by a predator.
Oh, man.
And when they're hunting for food, they don't want to be seen by the prey that they're going after.
Tara, I believe we have the buff-colored nightjar right here. Can you hear this? Is that it?
That might be it, Paul. I'm not entirely sure. So we don't have that species in Illinois.
We have we have an extensive research department, and that's what Sparks came up with, the buff-colored nightjar. No, but you don't have that one here in Illinois. You have other, but you mentioned
we have three species of nightjar in Illinois. We have common nighthawks, we have Chuck Will's widow, and we have the eastern whippoorwill.
These names are fun. Are you kidding? The Eastern Whippoorwill.
They in terms of the Chuck Will's widow and the Eastern Whippoorwill, they kind of were named because of the sounds they make.
Yeah.
So if you've ever heard an Eastern Whippoorwill, you won't forget it because it will say, it can repeat, it will repeat whippoorwill, whippoorwill over and over 50 to 100 times in a row.
I gotta
do this. They've recorded them doing this all night long. So if you're camping next to an eastern whippoorwill, you might want earplugs. But they're a fascinating bird, and sadly, you know, they've declined throughout North America, and it's a species of concern. The whole nightjar group is actually, which is unfortunate.
Let me see if I can pull off. I think this one is also a nocturnal bird. Let's see here. That's a burrowing owl, Tara, I think. Does that ring a bell?
We've had a couple cases or a couple, you know, they've been seen in Illinois, and they're very well protected. And so the areas that they've been found in Illinois are kind of hush, hush.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a Western species,
but
it's a really neat bird. And, you know, I remember seeing those for the first time out west and how excited I was to see those because, you know, they're not your typical owl. You know, they They actually have burrows in the ground, and they're out during the day. And so they're a neat species of owl.
Yeah, listen, taking the chance of sounding like a complete idiot here, I didn't even know owls did that. They burrow into the ground?
All owls.
Yeah, not
the
by
burrowing
any,
owl is just a...
special owl.
It's a specialized owl. You know, owls do, they do different things. You know, those burrowing owls, they're out on, you know, amongst prairie dog colonies too, you know, so they're kind of sharing the same habitat out there. And, you know, we have owls that will use, like a great horned owl, for instance, which is our biggest owl in Illinois. They'll use an old, you know, red-tailed hawk nest to nest in. And then they'll also use, owls will use, like, dead trees. You know, if a tree breaks off, I like to tell people, don't take down all your dead trees because, you know, animals will use those things, you know, and other animals like our little screech owls in the state, they will nest in cavities. So, you know, they do different things, and just because it's an owl doesn't necessarily mean it'll be nesting in a tree, I guess.
I'll tell you, and I'm listening to the interaction between the animals. We got a dog over here in the building who used to leap into the air and attempt to catch a bird in flight. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But, I mean, I guess it goes back to all the, you know, the bird's basic, the animal's basic, whatever that's called, you know, their basic nature. So.
Oh, yeah.
But some birds are more, I want to get into, like, the psychology of birds. I don't want to appear that I just was released from an institution here, Tara, but I'm beginning to think that there are, like, for example, this I read here. Are you ready?
Yep.
That's a blue jay.
Oh, yeah.
They're mean. Are they mean? Those are mean birds.
I feel like they're kind of a little bit of a bully.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had people that, you know, they'll put cameras on bird nests.
Yeah.
And blue jays will, they will predate other bird nests. They will destroy the eggs. They'll eat, you know, they are definitely kind of bully birds. You know, there are birds that if I have other birds sitting at my bird feeder, they will come in and scare, you know, push them all off. They're definitely a strong bird and a smart bird and a unique bird. They have so many different calls. You know, I've had times where I'm like, wait, what is that? And I'm like, oh, that's a blue jay, you know, because they have such a neat dialect.
Tara, this is not a precursor to a pop quiz here, but if I started playing sound effects, would you be able to say that's a mourning dove, that's a mallard duck, or what about that? You have a lot of those sounds in your head?
So I know a lot of bird calls for Illinois. I don't know all the ones in the world. There's over 10,000 species, but I try to be in the know on what's going on with Illinois bird calls. It's part of my job, actually. At least the main thing I do, I go out and I do a lot of bird surveys. So a lot of my job depends on knowing the songs or calls of breeding birds in Illinois. So you get into the warblers and it can get a little challenging sometimes because you hear one little chip and it can definitely stump you.
I opened the program. This is, again, a voyage of discovery. This, as you may know, Tara, is...
Oh.
Do you know what that is?
Is that a bald eagle calling?
Oh, my jeez. Wait a minute. Oh, you have won whatever we have. It is a bald eagle. That's incredible. Okay, now that, all right, if you just tune in, we did not tune this up. That, wow, how about that? But I have to say, I don't want to speak on behalf of all Americans. I didn't even know that those birds made a sound. They're always, you know, staring into the wind and they're on the money and you know what I'm talking about. I had no idea that
they're
were
kind of our stoic bird.
Yeah, jeez, that is something. Wow.
Yeah, so, they're neat birds. They're very cool birds.
Do you?
And they've made a huge comeback. So
throughout
the whole state.
That I saw. Those were on the way to being extinct, right?
Yeah, they weren't doing well, and so we're seeing a lot of those raptors that had really declined really make a huge comeback. Which you know, they're one of the groups of birds that's actually doing good right now because there's not too many that are, and they're luckily one of those groups of birds that are doing well.
So what about bird conservation? What can an amateur bloke like me do about that to know about it?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that any of us can do. You know, there's a, I mean, if say you have a yard, you know, if you have a house and you have a yard or even a tiny little yard, I mean, right. there's little things you can plant. I always tell people I'm a big pusher of planting native plants because perhaps I think the probably the biggest thing that has hurt birds is loss of habitat. And so if you can do something to help those birds, especially during migration, you know, whether it's like putting food or water out, you know, it's really important for birds. You know, we used to have grassland covering most of our state, and sadly, that has been, you know, that has been lost.
Paved over.
Yes, yeah, paved over. It's, you know, we live in a landscape that's pretty homogenous, and we have primarily, you know, corn and soybean.
Tara, let me take you back to migration real quick. We kind of know what that is, but you just said I should put out water for the birds. I'm happy to do that. I just never thought of doing that. We have
it's been so dry, yeah. You know, and if these birds are migrating, you know, we have a little fountain out, and, you know, we had a pond, but it's a whole other story. But, you know, and we see birds constantly drinking out of it.
Wow.
And so having a water source available, you know, I think sometimes that's easily forgotten that, you know, water's not always the easiest thing to find. And so if you have a water source, that can be really important, especially in the winter,
yeah.
because things freeze. And having a running water source or unfrozen water source is really important for birds.
And what about some, listen, I put out a bird, I think it was called a fruit nut bell that mm-hmm. I got down at the store for no apparent reason. I hung it in the tree and nothing happened. And then a day or two later, it was gone. You know, it looked like they partied. You know, it was like nothing, nothing left but Red Bull cans, and you know. But it sounds like I'm goofing around. I really would like to get to sort of get into these birds a little bit. I would love to feed them if I knew how to do that. And
well, you know, it's you know, you want to get something that, you know, that is kind of high energy, high quality food. I like to say and. Yeah. Honestly, one of the best things I like to get is just black oil sunflower seed. You can't really go wrong with that, I feel like.
Say it again. Say it again.
Go ahead.
Go on. We have phone thing here. It's something sunflower seed. Go ahead, please.
Oh, black oil sunflower seed?
Okay, black oil sunflower seeds. All right, good.
Mm-hmm. And they love suet. I mean, when during migration, birds love a good, you know, high energy quality suet.
they need a blast.
Yeah.
Do all birds? And thanks for doing this. We've had you on. It's actually now Friday. You've been on for 2 days here. I hope you'll come back. And I'll ask you some of these things if we could, but. Do all birds, do they all chirp? Do they all sing? Are there some that are not mute, but when I look out the window and I try to see what birds are making the noise, are some species they're just more, you know, talkative? Is that true?
Yeah, so most birds communicate. You know, that a lot of them, you know, we have what are our songsters, you know, our big singing birds, and, you know, they communicate in all different ways, you know, whether it's while they're migrating, they may be doing little chip notes. If you're out during migratory time, you know, in the spring or the fall, you may hear on a nice clear night little sounds in the sky. And that could be because they're trying to keep in contact with one another. So they make these little sounds so that they know where, you know, the other birds are, essentially.
And then
you have birds. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in migrating, again, we're going south for the winter. Quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, and then you have birds that, you know, call to or sing to attract a mate. You know, the males are typically the ones that do most of the singing. And, you know, the more they sing, the stronger they look, the earlier in the morning they sing, you know, the more likely they are to get the mate.
In all forms of endeavor, they get up, those macho birds, they're belting them out.
Yeah, you know, the early bird catches the mate, you could say.
Wow.
start, start singing early.
Tara, you were what a treat to have you on this morning. I hope you can join us again. So we told some people about some stuff here. I hope that we'll ignite not only my interest in some of this stuff, but everybody's interest. I have to say, at the risk of sounding naive, I just didn't pay attention to birds. I mean, they're all around us. I had nothing against them, but I just started what you just told me about feeding them and watering them anyway. So, yeah, good on you for letting us know here. And hopefully, I just read we had the hottest September ever. So in the world of environment, I think this is all it's all appropriate to talk about.
So, oh yes.
Yeah. What else? And do you have a bird thing at night that you do? You have a group thing that people get together? Is that coming up or not?
Ever? So I do nocturnal bird surveys in the spring. Mm-hmm. They're usually in May and June. And so it's a volunteer thing where people get in their car and do roadside surveys. I've done some owl prowls in the past just for public engagement.
An owl prowl? An owl prowl.
Yeah, owl prowl.
All right. Okay.
So those are pretty fun. And I tend to like to go out at night and listen to the sounds of the night. I think it's a pretty fun thing to do. So
you sound centered. More we could use more of that in the world. Tara, thank you. Thanks.
No, I'm happy to do this. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm trying to find the right bird to leave you with here. How about the greater prairie chicken?
Sure, that poor bird needs as much, publicity as it can get.
He needs a shout out. Wow. I know. There it is, Tara. I feel the same way. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a good day today.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message, and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the room must listen to me. Filibuster vigilantly. My name is Blue Canary. One note spelled L-I-T-E. My story's infinite, like the Longines Symphony. It doesn't rest. Blue Canary in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a pine on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. New canary in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a bonnet on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine.
Hey, we played a hit. They Might Be Giants, Birdhouse in Your Soul. On the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show for Bird Month here at 14 before the hour on bleat.network. Hey, cool, I think. I hope you enjoyed that. I am a lucky man that I can get up and talk to people that take me places that I want to be. Tara Beveroth from down in Champaign, in Illinois. We will endeavor to talk more about birds and all that stuff here. I'm finding a new interest in my life. We're going to continue that on Monday. We'll have a fellow from the Smithsonian on. I believe we had him on imitating. He actually does the birds. Anyway, I'm surrounded by this stuff here. It gives me a good opportunity to talk about it. I printed out a whole bunch of stuff here on the environment. No reason we can't knit all this together. How about this? Natural Climate Solutions. Natural Climate Solutions, like restoring degraded forests, could create as many as 39 jobs per $1 million spent. You keep saying it's bad for the economy. It's not. That's a job creation rate more than 6 times higher than the oil and gas industry. So how about that? Aluminum can be recycled continuously, as in forever. Recycling an aluminum can save enough energy to run our TVs for at least 3 hours. Not sure that's... Well, it depends on what's on TV. All right. 80 trillion aluminum cans are used by humans every year. 80 trillion. And we can save 75,000 trees if we recycle the paper used on the daily run of the New York Times alone. We try to do that. We try. In fact, in my hand, we do try to recycle the paper. All right. Okay. There we go. We have some birthdays today. Our office manager has a birthday coming up today. Oh, yeah. What else happened on this day? Friedrich Nietzsche, the guy who said, "That which doesn't kill me makes me stronger," whatever that is in German, was born today. And let's see here. Ooh. My most exciting moment as a kid was hearing this. Because I knew I was homesick from school. I could watch I Love Lucy. It aired for the first time on CBS. In full disclosure, and that was the week I was born, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. The popular show lasted 6 years, and it had several spinoffs after it went off the air. Can I pontificate a little bit? Desi invented what's called the three-camera format. They did I Love Lucy like a stage there, and got recordings. When we look at this, Desi had the foresight to record it. They never did that before. Anyway, there was always a first time. So Lucy and Desi, I'll tell you something else that they were, because Desi was a band leader with this very convincing Cuban accent that was hard to hear. Lucille Ball was basically a B-movie actress. She had a radio show called My Favorite Husband, but neither of them were terribly, terribly prominent. Anyway, they went to CBS and said, we've got this idea for a TV show. And the executive said, "Are you kidding? No one will ever believe that you two are married." So they put together a touring stage show, and they went out and did the I Love Lucy thing as a pilot. That, yeah, they did. That's a true story. I wish I could play that one again. And happy birthday to you. It's always somebody's birthday. I hope it's yours today. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. I think my friend Luis in Puerto Rico has a birthday today. Is that right? Oh, yeah. And somebody who works on the show has a birthday today. So, happy birthday today to you. It's 7 before the hour. It's a Pandemic Pirate Radio show from Chicago. It's Thursday. I'm always in a good mood on Thursday just because it's almost Friday. So I'm looking ahead a little bit here as we launch toward the end of the year here. It's 18 days till the election as of today. Wow. Did time fly? It did. Tomorrow we're going to recap everything that happened this week if we can. Aaron the News Baron will be on. What looks like record-setting voter turnout. As far as we know, lots of people voting so far, so we're going to get into that tomorrow. And everything else is happening. If you haven't voted yet, please do your thing. Please, if you haven't registered, register it. If you registered and you wanted a ballot and you haven't got one, ask about that. If you got a ballot and haven't turned it in, if you got one and filled it out and you haven't mailed it in, anyway. We have 18 days to the election, and then we'll see what's going on. So, yep. And then it'll all be over, or something we hope will all be over. I have in my hand, just a second or two here, I see we're in catalog season. I was thinking yesterday as I look forward, you know, we've got, wow, the end of this very odd year here, then we have Halloween. We talked about the shall we say, alternative nature of Halloween. That's coming up. Thanksgiving. Christmas, which is a cultural holiday. Let's all see that. Anyway, to say it's going to be an odd year would be stating the obvious. And I'm just thinking about how that's going to work for all of us. So, one of my favorite things about the end of the year, catalogs. I have one here. I'm not going to... Boy, I could do an entire week here. We could go from birds to the Hamaker Schlemmer catalog. This came in the mail here. I got to say one thing. I lived in New York City, and we used to get this, I remember. It was good because I was thoroughly broke. You couldn't afford even a pack of gum where I lived. And the Hamaker Schlemmer catalog was always like, hey, if you're looking for something in a silver toothpick. So I haven't seen their catalog, and they sent me one here. Wow, it's different. It's different than it used to be. Should I go crazy? There's basically no one at the building here where we broadcast from some of the time. So, I mean, I could make the... We could go crazy with wow, the Christmas stuff. Wait a minute. Oh, boy. Page 38. The remote-controlled Abrams tank. That's right. You can order one of these. It's $300. It's a... This guy's out there with his remote control. He's going to get someone that you know that's hard to buy for. How about getting him a remote-controlled tank? Out there with the neighbors. Bob, I told you, keep the music down. See you tomorrow. Natasha Rodriguez produced this from Chicago. Bye.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, or also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.